Turn over to Matthew 28. We are in an exciting time of the year when we get to honor our graduates, both from high school, college, people getting their masters, kids graduating from kindergarten, and hopefully everywhere in between. We have graduations going on all over the world. You know, graduation time is always an exciting time, especially if you graduated. Not so exciting if you're not, but that's not the message today. You know, it's a time of celebration, a time to realize the accomplishments you've made, and also a time to reflect on the journey it's been to get where you are. You know, if you don't take time to reflect on the journey, you're going to miss out on a lot of lessons that are there. You know, it's also a time to look towards the future. When we look at high school graduation, that's not the ending of things. And we need to have the parties, we need to have the celebrations, we need to have a good time and hoop it up some, but don't hoop it up too long, because it's not the end of things. Nowadays, with a high school education, you'll get a minimum wage job at best most times. In our world today, a BA doesn't even do it hardly. You need to go after a master's and a PhD. I mean, that's just the reality of things. So while we need to celebrate, we also need to walk in with a sober mind. And as usual, I will be the sound of your sober mind. Celebration is great, but if you do not plan for the future, you will be behind the pack. There are a lot of kids that already know exactly where they're going, what they want to do, and there are some that don't. It is time to really figure out what you want to do. You know, while we celebrate graduations, let's turn the spin a little bit spiritually, you know, because we're at church. When we look at graduation spiritually, when you get baptized, that's just the beginning of things. In Matthew 28, look over in 18, verse 18 with me. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" See, Jesus didn't say, okay, get baptized, and this great staircase from heaven is going to come down, and you can just start making your way to heaven, right? Who here has been baptized? Have you seen a staircase yet? Has an angel come to escort you into your heavenly glory? No, it hasn't. I haven't seen that yet. I'd love to see that. That'd be kind of cool. But what happens usually once we're baptized? Satan knows your name. Now you are an official enemy of the evil one. You know, God has blessed our church within this last year with 10 new brothers and sisters. Amen. To God be the glory. And God has given these young disciples to us for a reason. It's not to add to our number. It's to take care of them. It's to fulfill what the scripture says and to teach them what? Everything Jesus has taught us. I don't know about you, but there's no program that teaches everything, especially in a short period of time. So we might be here a while trying to teach everything, but that's the mindset that we need to have. We need to have a mindset of always continually learning something. We need to be learners and not stop once we get baptized. We will also have a final graduation. The final graduation when we see where we're going for eternity. Are you ready for that final graduation? You know, the test is happening right now. You are actually taking the test as we speak. How are you doing? How are you doing on your test? Talking to some of the teens this week, and, you know, I figured school's only got a couple weeks left, and they're talking about, like, crazy tests until the last day of school. I'm like, good night. Give them a break. Somebody wave the white flag for these guys. It's been a hard year. But the teachers don't think that. They're trying to prepare them for a very hard economy. They're trying to prepare them for a world that puts them on the blacklist right out of college. If you want to be successful, you have to be better than everyone around you. Amen. Let me grab another thought. You know, when we think about the final graduation, it's coming sooner than you think. Who knows the date of the final graduation? Can somebody tell me? Do you know? Sandra, you don't know? Faishan, you got to know. Somebody got to know. Didn't Jesus tell us when the final graduation was, when he was coming back, and we're going to have that whole judgment day type thing, and we're going to figure out, are we going with the Father, or are we going someplace else? No one knows, right? It can happen right now. Again, are you ready for the final graduation? You know, people don't graduate by mistake. You got to show up and you got to put out. You know what I'm saying? You can't just write your name on the paper and they say, good job, you spelled your name correctly, you can go to the next grade. It don't work like that unless you play sports. But I'm kidding, calm down. Don't stone me yet. Sometimes it's true. Y'all are laughing because some part of it is true. Turn over to Matthew 25. See, God is a good God. He doesn't expect us to pass the test without giving us some stuff. You know how it is before you start the next year? Around July, probably more like August, the day before school, you run to the store and you try to get the stuff. You know what I'm talking about? You got to get all your number two pencils. You got to get the books, get the paper, the pens. You need the stuff. Because if you ain't got that stuff, you're going to fail right when you walk in the door because you didn't have nothing to write with, right? Well, God allows us to come in with some stuff. He gives us talents. He gives us abilities. These guys didn't graduate just on their own. God has filled them with intelligence. God has filled them with charisma. God has filled them with talents that they will be able to use to be able to do amazing things in this world. We have to take our talents and not only do amazing things in this world, but turn around to God and give him the glory for the gifts. You know, a lot of times we think that if we could do something well, it's us doing it. But let me ask you a question. If you're a good singer, what did you do to become a good singer? Yeah, you might train a little bit. Yeah, you might, you know, some people need more lessons than others. be quiet, boy. But some just come out and they have this amazing natural ability. When we hear them in the congregation, we hear them in all the singers up here, they need to give God to that glory. You know, there's a lot of guys on stage that could be cutting albums and just doing different things, but they come in and week out. And they don't come to perform, they come to bring us to worship. We need to appreciate our singers very, very much. We have a little meeting before the service, and while I was praying, I referred to them as spiritual travel agents. Because they bring us before the foot of the cross. They bring us to the edge of our seat. They bring us to the edge of tears. They swell our hearts with what they do. But why do they do this? Because one, they love God. Second, they're giving God the glory because he gave them the gifts. Let's look over at Matthew 25. Starting in verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who has called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the two talents gained two more. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the five talents brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that wicked, that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, I know I speak for many of you, we don't just want to graduate. I know we have a lot of achievers in this room. You know, we want to be at the head of the class. If there's a way to become the valedictorian, we want to fight to do that. We don't just want to just eke by and coast on a C. We want to fight for that full A ride. Now, some of us might be one-talented people. Can you get all A's? Maybe not. Maybe not naturally. So what do you have to do? You have to work harder than the rest of them. I don't consider myself a five-talent guy by any stretch. But I know that I have to put in that sweat equity if I want to get what they can get out of it. See, we all have the same test to take. The same Bible that you read, I read. The same Bible we preach out of, you read, and we're supposed to live it. See, no one's under a different standard. God's not going to pull out the Quran on you and say, well, you didn't fulfill this. Be like, hold on. I didn't study that. And then he's going to say, I'm just kidding. He's going to throw it out. He's not going to pull out Confucianisms on you. He's going to pull out the Bible and see if your life and your doctrine match up. And that's where we will be judged. But are you at the head of your class, spiritually speaking? I don't care how many talents you have. That's where it boils down to excuse makers and people that work hard. It's all about not making excuses. You can say, well, I'm just a one-talented guy. I'm afraid of the master. I'm just going to hide it. I'm just going to stay quiet. I'm going to sit wherever I decide to sit. I'm not going to say that I can lead songs. I'm not going to say that I can speak pretty well. I'm not going to say that I want to serve others. I'm just going to stay quiet, stay very reserved, and hopefully no one will see me. But the thing is, God sees you. The God that gave you your talents knows what he's put in you. Every single person in here has the ability to be a five-talented person. Either you can do it naturally, or you just bust your butt to get there. Who in here is working their talents with all their hearts? Again, why do the singers do it? One, they love God. And two, they serve God with their talents. Can we all say the same? You know, the graduates, they're going to have some days that they're going to go into school, and it's going to be like, man, this is easy. I thought this was going to be hard. And then there's going to be seasons when studying isn't going to be enough. When they might get that first C, and they're going to get discouraged. Man, I studied, and I still got this. You know what? You might have to study a little harder. You might have to change up the game a little bit. You're not in high school anymore, you're in college. But when we look at it spiritually, are we looking for ways to change it up a little bit? Are we talking to other people that we usually don't talk to? Are we engaging people in conversations that maybe a year ago we were afraid to have? It's all about challenging ourselves. See, I went to college at the age of 31 or something like that. I scared myself for 15 years, probably 12 years of not going to college. I can't do it. I hardly did high school. There's no way I could do college courses. It's going to be too hard. There's no way. And I allowed fear to stop me year after year after year. I had people around me telling me, you can do it. You can do it. You have natural ability. You just kind of have to work hard. My wife would tell me year after year, you should get your degree. Then finally I said, you know what? I want to go into the ministry one day. There's an opportunity to go to a Christian college. I'm interested in that. And I graduated with honors. Yeah, it's okay. You don't need to do that. I'm saying that to say I busted my on several occasions with a wife, children, and a full-time job, and also leading a ministry. So I know sweat equity has a lot to do with what we can do in life. You know, these guys are lucky. They don't have a wife, kids, or any of those kind of responsibilities. Praise God. They were smart. They're going to do it the right way. I did it. But yet, I still graduated. Yet, I'm still where I want to be. Why? Sometimes our journeys are a little different, but you got to make the best of what you got. But are you willing to do something different to become something different? You know, there's two things that we must be willing to do if we want to be ahead of the class. First, you must be willing to be a servant of Christ. You know, when you graduate high school, that is the prerequisite to college. You can't just, you know, leave elementary school and say, okay, I'm going to college. See y'all later. I don't need that stuff. That's easy stuff. I just want to go straight into my career. That doesn't really work out well, does it? You need to do the prerequisite stuff. That's why there is English 101 and English 104. Because you need to do 101 and all the other ones before you can get to the last course. Because you have a lot to learn before you can get to the end point. It's the same thing spiritually. The first thing to enter this thing is you need to become a servant of Jesus. And what I mean by servant is just that. Are you a servant? Are you someone that looks to meet the needs of others? See, to me, that's being at the head of the class. Jesus wanted to show the disciples how to be excellent and how to love people. What did he do? He washed their feet. He showed us how to be what he wanted us to be, and that's a servant. When you look at your life, can you honestly say that you're a servant? I believe we have a church full of servants. I believe that when we come someplace, a disciple's natural mindset is, what can I do? And we see it all the time when we go to a party. You see Tammy running around like crazy doing this, that, and everything else. That's the heart of a servant. When we go anywhere, my wife does not sit down to be entertained. She runs to find out what do we need to do. We go to people's non-Christians' kids' birthday parties, and everybody else is just chilling, chatting, talking. We're running around cutting cake, cleaning up stuff on kids' faces, and we're just running around trying to do something. Why? Because we're there to be like Jesus. Is that a big up for them? Yes. I do lift them up because they're servants. But we're just doing what we were called to do in the first place. That's why it's a prerequisite. We first need to be a servant of Jesus. See, once you're a servant, you must be willing to work hard. You need to be willing to work hard. A lot of times working hard is uncomfortable. You think it's fun lugging in those drums week in and week out? Ask Thomas Hood. But you definitely enjoy when it gets down, right? I know I do. When these guys have to lug all this equipment in back and forth, when they come in at 8:30 to practice, they are serving us. They are working hard. Are you serving those in the community around you? Do your neighbors know you as being servants of the community? You know, yesterday we were at Lisa's birthday party, and it was a lot of fun. But one thing was evident. She's a servant of people. She had a whole bunch of people in there, and a lot I didn't know. So it was no church function. She had a lot of brothers and sisters there and a lot of other people that I just didn't know, and I thought that was spectacular. And these people just didn't like her. They are flat out in love with her. And she's awesome, but I believe the biggest thing that she has is her servant's heart. When you see her, no matter how she's feeling, she always got a smile on her face. She's always looking to see how you're doing. And a lot of times that smile is enough of a service, because it's really hard when you see somebody say, "How you doing?" "I'm doing all right." Do you come in with an attitude to serve? Do you come in saying, "I'm going to prepare my mind. Whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened 5 minutes ago, I'm going to leave that at the door, and I'm going to come in and serve with a smile." Somebody asks you, "How you doing?" "I'm doing all right." You don't need to be fake about it. And if you do need that encouragement, you can serve in that way as well. Be honest. Don't lie. We family. I don't feel good. I'm hot. I am hot, but I'm hot. Oh, I'm mad. Even my wife just had an argument. Can we go pray? My kids got me upset. Can we go pray so I don't kill them? Can you pray for my patience? Can you pray for my heart? Or do we just glance it over like, "Yeah, I'll be all right. Whatever. Okay. Man, that preacher's going on way too long. Oh, they're singing. I could have done that better." Do we have that attitude? We all struggle with it, guys. But it's how we repent after it is what really matters. See, verse 28 teaches us, if you're a hard worker, more will be given to you. You know, sometimes we get scared about that. We're like, "Wait, hold up. I got enough. I really don't want any more. So let me not work as hard as I can anyway." That don't work. You cannot shrink back. God wants us to excel. He wants us to be totally out. He will not give you more than you can bear. You know, today we're honoring the graduates. Let's remember what it takes to be the head of the class. Let's be willing to celebrate our victories, but we also have to be willing to give our best and to give God the glory. God bless you.